Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Wednesday, September 7th, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I do have with me today multiple co-hosts, folks. I have Stephen Douglas Whitener with us. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Richard. Hello, RBN.
And I also have folks back with us from all the way in Inverness, Scotland, broadcasting live with us here, Mr. Graham Sutherland. Welcome, Graham. It looks like Graham's on mute. At the moment,
I thought I heard.
Yeah, seems he's on mute there. All right. Well, once he can get off mute, at least maybe expected a bit more of an intro from me here. But should be with us in a second. It seems he's connected fine. Just has to get off the mute. Stephen, I was asking you earlier your thoughts, and you really wanted to address and get Graham's thoughts on this Biden speech. Graham, your mute's off now. Hey, Graham, did you catch the speech by Biden by any chance?
Yes, I did, Richard. It was really provocative and really highly divisional.
Okay, I'm getting a little bit of a hum on your end. I don't know why. Yesterday earlier this week and even in a sound check, I didn't really hear that. Getting a little hum, just so you know. I don't know if you'll be able to fix that, but no, we still hear you just fine. And Stephen, I mean, well, before letting Graham elaborate, I mean, what are your thoughts then, since you wow. suggested this topic?
It was just scary. He had that red background. I mean, the red shield and the show who's in charge, the commie red, and it just like he just was so vehement that he was declaring war on the American people, at least anyone who didn't absolutely toe the party line and hail him as chief. Hail to the chief. You know, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black, and yada yada. I mean, it goes so extreme to this that he's just like he's coming for anyone who supported Trump or who wants to make America a better country. I mean, just lumping everyone who in it with one. It's like it was almost like a red terror kind of thing. It spooked me when I saw it. Okay, a red and October's coming up, you know, and that's talking about red October. That concerned me a lot. It just is like, man, what are they going to do next? You know, and I just wonder what it looked like over there from Graham's point of view too, and how they see it with a little bit better perspective, how they see our situation here.
Yes, well, Graham, do you want to comment again?
Yeah, it was just totally fighting talk, you know, a time when you think they would be trying to, you know, sort of calm things down or whatever. It seemed to be a call to action.
Okay. I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. It is estimated, what, like 74 million Trump supporters. He was at the very least addressing 74 million Americans, considering them the enemy. Then he backtracked, trying to have in following days. This is totally different attitude, right? Saying, oh, I didn't quite mean that they were the enemy and, you know, they're following this man, but what they represent, I didn't mean that all that was quite as much a threat. I mean, you know, yeah, he suddenly just, and then we had another backtrack on the backtracking, you know, and people were reporting on this as well. So even his handlers can't make up their mind. It's obviously Biden isn't doing all this himself in the first place. And so the damage control and then realizing they went back a little too far for their agenda, damage control on the damage control for even feeding him the script. So it's not just one man, obviously, who are who are flopping like this. So it is for the world to see as well. So it's quite a spectacle.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I can imagine the process going back. There must be some committee, you know, that's trying to figure out what direction to take. And they are folks group this and that. And it's just, this, like you said, a spectacle. It's just a theater that they're using to manipulate us with. But it's also, they seem to be signaling that they are coming, that things are really going to heat up, I don't know whether it's because more people are waking up or because they just
almost like they want to,
that's what, yeah, what,
almost like there. they want this new Bolshevik laws to have a one party state, a one party communist state. It's very Stalinesque in the implications, just the wording chosen in a lot of these. Go ahead, Graham. Please.
I was just going to say, I couldn't help feeling as well that it was something of a smokescreen to divert our minds away from the Hunter Biden laptop fiasco.
Stephen?
Yeah, they've admitted that it was hidden by the FBI, and it goes along with Trump. What did he say? I forgot exactly how he phrased it, but either you recognize it or have a new election, okay? Because it's obviously had been interfered with, that has been a crime committed, that it was stolen. And, you know, anybody with paying attention would have seen how many more people. I mean, it was such a crime, you know? I was thinking when I was listening to this Teach Me True History class last night, where he talked about putting blankets up over the windows when they were writing the Constitution. It reminded me of how they put the cardboard over when they were counting the votes back in the 2020 election. It's the same group of criminals that's been doing this to us for a long time, you know. That's this crazy thought I had from the last few days. But, yeah, this time, that's kind of, things are really getting serious with the agenda. I mean, I do think that this is that they've been signaling that there's food shortages, but you can see the price is going up. That's crazy. The inflation is insane. I started to make a little I'm going to be able to actually have a little garden again. I'm able to do that, and one of my neighbors is going to till it, so I got some steaks and string to mark it off. $25 for just little steak and string. That's just crazy. That would have been less than $6 not long ago. I mean, with these little plastic rods, you can see food going up, up, up. People are getting squeezed, and it's to divert from that too, as well, as you said, like from Hunter Biden's laptop and all. It could be part of that as well, but I know it just feels so ominous the way that he came out and the way those January 6 hearings were done. I remember them doing every channel on the television when they had some hearing, and it looked like 9/11 when all of the channels started showing the same thing to me. It just brought that to mind back then, and that gave me the willies then too. So no, I'm not trying to say I know. I don't know what. It just things look serious. That's all. That's a lot more than I realize. Sometimes.
Yeah, they seem to want a controlled, just kangaroo court style commission. You know, just like 9/11 commission, kind of optics for January 6th. And as far as the timing for even Sandy Hook also being so much in the news cycle again right now, I mean, you know, this is all intentional as far as when these trials and the coverage occur in the election cycles and in the political the totalitarian power grab give and take. You know, we have these wax and wane cycles. They're very aware of this stuff, you know.
Yeah, these commissions you mentioned, the 9/11 commission, the Warren commission, this commission and that commission, they commit crimes and then they cover them up with the commissions. It's like that's the kind of cycle we've had in this country since it was founded.
But I mean, the shortages are a very important thing too. and how the Ukraine war, even COVID, anything possible to divert the intentional energy, fuel, food squeeze that we're seeing in an attempt to gain more centralized power. And this is in Europe, perhaps even more so than the U.S. with the coming winter projections. If this war continues, and I hear what, like China's buying Russian gas and then selling it for profit to Europe. So it's not working out, is it? Graham, do you want to comment more on all of this? The coming winter, they're saying a lot of Europeans could have to choose between heating their homes and buying food. The prices of everything are already spiking and get worse. What do you think?
Yes, the energy companies are behaving in a really strange way. There's a whole lot of people saying that their standing orders were basically quadrupled by the gas company. And, you know, when they phoned up and said, look, this is ridiculous. This is like actually four times what I was previously paying. What's going on? How are you arriving at these figures? And they just kind of, pass you on to someone else who passes you on to someone else and who passes you on to someone else. And they seem to be taking a lot more money, or they seem to be trying to take a lot more money than even the increases. A lot of people are in panic mode, really. It seems to have been done by computer. I really don't know. We'll have to wait and see, what will happen. But yeah, a lot of people are really worried about it, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Yes, food shortages, then, you expect could certainly be a serious issue this winter. I don't know what will be worse, that or the heating concerns. Just not enough fuel, or the energy grid having issues. And in California, with the green agendas and the droughts, also it affects fertilizer cost and availability. There are so many connected things. They want a lot of these regions to be starved of resources. That much is clear. Sir.
Yeah, I seen an interesting documentary saying that the cost of electricity and the cost of gas has made them stop producing aluminium stop producing alloy in Europe altogether. So we're going to have to start importing all our alloy from China, and the price of aluminium is going to they reckon it's going to quadruple as well, because it's all going to have to be imported now.
Well, Graham, I saw a similar story in the U.S. that another company that produces, aluminum, but aluminum, as you said, is going to shut operations down. And it's a big deal for them to stop, too, that once, it's not something you can just turn on and off like a light switch. There's all this molten metal in there that would solidify. So it's a big, they're shutting down there, too. That's interesting. They're cutting us off all of our resources that we could use, the West, all that's it. We're being technologically just destroyed. Mm-hmm. That's another sign. Yeah, let me toss it back to you. I just wanted to say I'd seen the same thing here, Graham.
Graham, well, it looks like we have a caller on already. I don't know. Do you want to take a call already, sir?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Yeah. Perhaps they have a question for your perspectives or, information gathering overseas.
Sure.
In Scotland. We have Mike in Georgia. Hello, welcome, Mike. And thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I just, 2 points I would like to make is that, number one, this country has been under a one-party communist dictatorship since 1860. And the second point is that if anyone who can hear, who has two brain cells to rub together, who thinks that they're going to find liberty through a political party, they have lost their mind.
Graham, do you want to respond to that?
It's interesting. I was actually going to say earlier on, when we were talking about the Biden speech, I couldn't help feeling, and I've felt this for a long time, that it's just an alternative reality. It's like a puppet show. It's like every single thing that's said is scripted, and just complete deception and nonsense. It's not real, it's theater. I can't help feeling that. There's no reality to it.
Amen.
I completely agree too, and it's so strange watching it. It almost looks like they're two different Bidens and stuff. It's just creepy the way that they staged everything with the fake Oval Office and stuff. And it's just,
and you know,
oh man,
I was thrown for a loop at first, but I know there was another Mike I know who was on the air right now on another station. He's in Georgia. I knew it couldn't be him, but no, okay, now that narrows it down a bit. This would be Mr. Gaddy, Mr. Mike Gaddy, wouldn't it, sir?
Well, that's a nasty rumor.
Yeah, well, Graham here is from Scotland, so he's not too familiar. But, yeah, I know. Yeah, Graham, this gentleman's been on the radio for a long time. Stephen just got to know him, actually. He met him in person at this Dixie Fest organization, networking kind of meetings they have in they have an organization there, and he's been interacting with him. He had him on his show, actually. Steven started having him on his show after he met him in person there. So, yeah, they're not too far from each other, Steven and Mike here. But, yeah, I don't know, Mike, did you have anything else to mention to our Scottish friend here? I've known this gentleman for quite a while, about 6 years. We've both been doing radio.
Yes.
Together.
Well, Graham, it is a distinct honor to be able to speak with you, sir. I am of Scots-Irish background myself, and one of the things I have always loved, if you folks would like to learn a little bit more about the Scots-Irish in America, there is a great book called Born Fighting, because the Scots have been fighting from the very day, first day of their existence, and they will continue to do so. They buckle to no one.
Yeah, absolutely. It's woven into our DNA. Folk music and everything. It's interesting because when I meet some Irish people I've never met before. I mean, I've been over in Ireland a few times. You just instantly feel a kinship with the people before you even start talking, you know, because we've got a shared sense of persecution and abuse, basically, by the brutal English aristocracy, basically.
Well, Graham, would you not agree that we're under that same domination today?
Oh, absolutely. It's the same families as well, interestingly enough. It's the same families.
Exactly, and most Americans are not cognizant, or at least they don't want to be cognizant, of the fact that it was that British aristocracy who wrote our first Constitution.
Yeah, absolutely. The Anglo-American Empire, it's starting to crumble, though. You can see it. There's a lot of cracks in it, and we're witnessing the demise of it right now, our fiat currency thing. It's a house of cards is collapsing right before our eyes.
Oh, I got to tell you, Graham, it's kind of jumping subject here, but I just love that Scottish accent. And, someday if you would consent, I would like to call you up and have you read the dictionary for me.
I'll read anything you want. Yeah, it'd be no problem at all. I could even use my... my mother tongue, as they say. I could speak in broad Scots, and then no one would understand me.
I got to tell you, back in the late 1990s, I was a tour guide, and we picked up people and took them on a tour of America, and I was the historical guide. And I got to tell you, the tours I had with the Scots were just absolutely, I felt such a kinship. People I hadn't met before, but I felt that kinship you're talking about, and the thing we share is the oppression of the British aristocracy, which you mentioned before, which is so spot on. And if you look at the people who fought so hard against the British aristocracy during our American Revolution, look at the people you can trace back to the Scots-Irish heritage, and then especially in our Second War for Independence, which is called the Civil War, the Scots-Irish led the way. And that is, you know, is a hard fact to refute, but that book called Born Fighting describes this perfectly, in my opinion, sir.
Okay, yeah, I've taken note of that. I'll have a look for that.
And Mike, we've known Richard and I've known Graham for a number of years doing things like this together. Graham's very self-reliant, the way he lives up there. It's just fascinating to hear him tell a story too sometimes. And the last time I talked to you, you were doing this metallurgy with the, you know, casting copper and stuff. I'd love to hear more about that sometime, Graham, when you have a minute. That off the air, it's fascinating when you describe how you set your place up. People, that was very forward thinking. People, things that are happening now, I mean, you know, it just, yeah, if things are about to get serious, I'm afraid not to, but I just wanted to let you know, tell you that, Mike. He's quite an interesting fellow, good friend of ours.
Well, I could get you gentlemen in touch, Mr. Gaddy, with Mr. Sutherland here, and yeah, you'd be able to arrange to, or I could even try to arrange the two of you to chat more on my show again sometime. So,
oh, that would be fantastic.
All right, great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, no, thank you then, as always, for calling, sir. If that's all you wanted to add, we have John in Texas next on hold. Hello, John. Hey, thanks for calling. What's on your mind, sir?
Hello there. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, I know you, sir, from a National Intel Report. And that's Scottish John, as Mr. Stadmiller always used to refer to you. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Mr. Stadmiller referred to me as Scottish John. And he fired me after doing two shows because I was a socialist. But we won't dwell on that. I just wanted to ask Graham a question. Graham, have you got your new kettle yet?
No, I haven't got my new kettle.
Well, how are you going to afford to pay your bills, man, if you don't get a new kettle?
Well, I've got a good backup system here. I've got a multi-fuel stove. I can heat water on top of the stove.
Oh, there you go. You're sorted, mate. But I saw that video on yesterday of Johnson talking about that, and I thought, my God, what the hell is the world coming to? I mean, I thought in political terms, the bar couldn't get any lower when he went into number 10, but look who we have now. The cheese queen, eh?
I know. She keeps flip-flopping, changing her mind about everything. You know, it doesn't matter what she says. She'll probably say something completely the opposite tomorrow. That's a feeling I get.
Yeah. It's a sad state of affairs.
She was anti-Brexit, and then she was for it, and now she still seems to be kind of for it.
Well, I think she's probably just doing what she's told. But let me just... One more thing I want to mention. I'm retired, and I've got a pension from back home. I'm not eligible for full Social Security retirement here, but they used to give me a top-up because I didn't get the full amount. And after the Brexit vote, you're probably aware of it, the pound went through the floor and it never really recovered.
Yes.
And my pension's just been creeping down and down and down over the years. Now, currently, I just checked today's exchange rate and it's the lowest I've ever known. So
yep.
It's costing me $200 a month. That's how much I'm losing at the moment because of this exchange rate.
How many years did you have to qualify? Because 33 is the maximum.
Right. Well, I didn't get the full amount. So I retired in 2015. So I started work in 1965. So I started, that kicks in when you're 18, so it would have been from 1968 until 2015, 30, 45, 47 years.
You must have had some years where you missed payments or you were off or something happened because you need 52 weeks payment to qualify for a year.
Right, yeah. I worked in the Philippines for a couple of years back in the 80s in the textile trade, so yeah, that's maybe it.
That's probably what it is. They basically just look for excuses not to give you a full pension.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, hell, they've raised the retirement age now, haven't they? 67?
67 it is now for men, yes.
God almighty. Yeah, scandalous. Anyway, when you're doing that, reading that book for Mike and your broad Scots, I forget the term you used exactly, but if he needs any help translating what you're saying, I'll be available at no charge. All right?
Okay. No, the phrase I used was mother tongue. It means mother tongue.
All right, mother tongue. Well, it's so mother long tongue. Since I heard anybody say that, I didn't hear it right. You'll need to forgive me.
mother tongue, yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the call,
terrific.
John.
Thanks, John.
Wow. That was unexpected.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Wow.
Very nice. Well, yeah. See, Graham, you certainly are in demand here at RBN. We have to have your voice on more regularly again.
Yeah, absolutely. These call-in shows are interesting because they can take all sorts of unexpected twists and turns.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, it's hard to know what we're expecting, but it is good to have. I mean, when you do what we do, we try to go with our gut and our instincts, you know, and a kind of reading of the atmosphere. And you know, sometimes, yeah, you might change mid course on the message you're trying to send in that broadcast to your listeners.
Yeah, I see now. You know, when John was speaking about the kettle fiasco there, you know, Boris Johnson had said that if you buy a more economical kettle, you could save £10 in a year. I seen a really funny parody of that. It was a guy, he came home from his work, and his wife had bought 5 kettles. And he said, "Well, why have you bought 5 kettles?" And she said, I reckon if each kettle saves us £10 a year, we'll save £50 a year instead of 10.
Okay, that's pretty funny. I cut the pizza into 8 slices, but today I only cut it into 4 because I'm trying to cut down, kind of thing. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, if you make bigger slices, it's less calories.
Yeah. Well, and this woman you guys were talking about, didn't I hear her make a statement that support for Ukraine was pretty much unconditional and, you know, you guys can just be damned, who, you know, and maybe I'm thinking of another person. That might have been another woman that said that, no, who was a leader, but yeah.
No, it was Liz Truss that said that. She said our support is unconditional and basically never-ending.
I hope the listeners will forgive me for my language, but it's, I thought that was what I had heard her say that. And it's like our politicians, our leaders are just, they're like the enemy. I mean, it's like he's coming and telling us we're his enemy. He's, you know, he's telling the truth there. They're our enemy. A government is what has killed more people.
Well, here, gentlemen,
I hear the music.
Exactly. Yeah. Bottom of the hour break. Yes, folks, stick around. Check out these messages from our sponsors. We'll be right back. Yeah!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Co-Certified app can make a huge difference for your future.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with Stephen Douglas Whitener and Graham Sutherland. And Graham, it looks like we have another caller here, and this has been an RBN host as well, Lark in Texas. Hello, welcome, Lark.
Howdy, y'all.
Howdy.
Hi.
I wanted to call in and reinforce the point that Mr. Gatti just made, and perhaps a way that can bring this into fuller focus for the listeners in support of what he just said, because I concur. The article is by the late George Gordon. It's easily searchable online, and it's titled, "Are You a Practicing Communist?" And I believe that just about says it all. Your comments?
Graham?
I'm absolutely... I see it like a seesaw, like a kid's seesaw. The Russians have become more Christian and more democratic. And at the same time, the other side of the seesaw... The American society's plunged into quite extreme communism.
What we're seeing, Graham, is a process known as convergence. And it was something that was discussed in think tanks, policy circles, foundations at the end of World War II and with the creation of the United Nations. Convergence is precisely what we've seen on the world stage with this never-ending dialectical conflict model being played out in real time. And really with just a vast dog and pony show that's reenacted every day. But what we have is a marriage of the systems of the East and the West. And that would include the cultural institutions, the economic systems, and the legal systems. Between, for example, say, those of the Communist Party of China and the legal model of the Soviet Union. And that was best exemplified by the late Harold Berman, who was a law professor at college at Harvard University for 40 years and 20 years more at Emory University in Atlanta. You can look him up, Harold Berman. I read everything I could find on this guy over the years. He taught American law students for 60 years, most of those years in the Ivy League. And what Wikipedia will admit is that in his time, he was called a noted Soviet legal expert.
Well,
and this plays out in the example of the late Justice Antonin Scalia, who was invited to join the faculty of what was called the Institute of American and Talmudic Law. And it also dovetails with what I've been researching for 18 years, and that is communitarianism and communitarian law. This is the superimposition of a mostly completely unknown phenomenon known as communitarian law, which is the new law of the European Union. Now, even in Europe, the BBC never even says this word aloud. You won't hear it on your Sunday talk shows here in the States. But communitarian law in the French is acquis communautaire. The BBC will say it without really saying it. They call it community law, or okay, community acquis, or simply EU law. Meanwhile, their listeners are completely kept in the dark, just like what's happening in this country. Because, see, in this country, we're seeing, just like in Europe and around the world, in this time of the information age and our hyper-connectedness, the superimposition of this international form of administrative and commercial law known as communitarian law, a law which, by the way, which was 70 years in the making. And this is the new legal underpinning for really what is the marriage of capitalism and communism, and both of which I think many Americans, especially today, would identify as, frankly, Jewish constructs. But such as it is.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Anyway, I'll jump off. I appreciate you guys. I listen to you all the time, Richard.
Well, wait, Lark.
Wait, okay. Yeah.
Thank you for that. But, I mean, I'd like to hear Sam's feedback to you. I mean, I wouldn't mind the two of you exchanging a bit more on the topic, sir. But, yeah, no, thank you so much for calling in and that you still listen to my show. Graham.
It's really interesting, Richard. My grandfather on my mother's side was unusually here. I mean, he was born in 1900, and he'd a private house. Most communists kind of had council housing, you know, local authority housing. But my grandfather on my mother's side, he was an active communist. And he used to, as I was growing up, he used to give me all these books, views of the USSR and, you know, all this kind of thing. And I do remember him, my dad, he thought it was quite funny because my dad has got kind of socialist leanings, but, you know, not so strong. But my grandfather used to give me all this communist, propaganda, really, I guess. But I do remember him saying, my grandfather saying one time, that greed and corruption would destroy democracies just the same as communism would if the wrong people got into power, and it could all go horribly wrong. I remember him saying that to me. You know, if you know, we're allowed to get the wrong people into power, it would be, you know, the two systems would implode. I remember him saying that. And it's kind of stayed with me all my life, because idealistically, communism, if it worked, if it was practiced properly, if the wealth was distributed between the people properly, you know, and there wasn't these oligarchs and, you know, crooks at the top, it would work. You know, it's a principle that, you know, it would work. It could work. I can see that. But by the same token, if there was a lot more sharing and less greed, and, you know, in the democratic world, it could work as well. But it's always greed and corruption. It destroys everything, basically.
Well, Graham, if I would add something to that, I'd say that, I mean, that's kind of the variation that National Socialism preaches. Now, if you take away all the negative associations you hear from, you know, official sources like the History Channel and all this sort of thing and Wikipedia, I mean, and it is kind of, because you kind of benefit from the local cohesion of a peoples who tend to go out of their way more in the altruistic sense for one another. It really, I don't know, in the socialist sense, it seems to be a component, along with a strong value of meritocracy and traditionalism that communism abandons in their doctrines. And so those are just my two cents briefly. Lark, can we get more feedback further from you, sir?
Yeah, I want to draw your attention, Richard, to an email, your inbox. Perhaps some of your guests and co-hosts over the last few months or so. It's simply entitled Communitarian Buzzwords. And before I want to continue, I'm going to remind people that they can easily follow my work. And Graham, you can reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you okay. Or any one of you listening. But the website is tinyurl.com/LarkinTexas. But yeah, we're being hoodwinked. And I'll give you an example. What is your nationality, Graham?
Scottish.
Let me explain something to you. You've heard of these words in the media bandied about, called the Great Reset.
Oh, of course, yeah.
The Fourth Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
Well, let me explain something to you. This word reset, in Scottish criminal law, reads thusly. It's the possession of property dishonestly appropriated by another, for example, by theft, knowing it to have been so obtained and intending that the owner should be deprived of it. Under communitarian law, what we all stand to lose is property. That's ownership of your own mind and your own body, true freedom of choice, personal autonomy, and exercise of free will. Communitarians don't believe anybody has rights which are unaccompanied by duties and responsibilities. And this is the camel's nose under the tent. What we're experiencing today is the theft of our right or claim to ownership of property, and that's including our own bodies and our own mind. And this is its danger. And if you look at that word reset, in any law dictionary, you're going to see the same words or very similar words. What we're talking about is what's being imposed upon us is really grand larceny and grand theft writ large. And it's going to impact and affect every person alive, our progeny, well into the future, unless we get a handle on what is really going on. At the root, at the foundational root of it all. And so what I try to do in the entry at my website is I bring us back to the time when we were 8 or 9 years old, before we were completely socialized to this existence, to this world, because we were, in fact, born into slavery in many respects.
Yeah.
We're kidding ourselves if we don't think, if we think that piracy and the slave trade ever went away. It just assumed new guises and permutations is all.
Yeah, but, I get that.
Yeah, and so what we need to understand is that we're being warred upon on a daily basis and it's 24/7. It's a psychological, it's a mimetic, it's nonlinear, it's socioeconomic, it's cultural, it's spiritual. It's called total war. And frankly, what that amounts to is what I suggest is the overarching two-part agenda for communitarians worldwide, whether they're familiar with this label or not. They wear it because they, of course, they're success-driven and they want to jump on the bandwagon. You know, they want to go where the action is, where the money is, you see? And so they don their power suits and then they unwittingly impose this crap on all of us, thinking they're doing the right thing because, after all, it's going to feather their nest and people are going to think quite well of them.
Yeah.
But the two parts are very simple. Depopulation, one word, which is a euphemism for total war. And that's every kind of warfare that you can possibly imagine, short of bombs exploding in the air and guns being shot off in the streets.
Yeah.
Okay.
It
includes chemical. I mean, it includes chemical and biological warfare. I'm talking total war here, okay? And in a communitarian system, the people themselves are weaponized against each other deliberately. The second overarching part of that two-part overarching agenda is techno-slavery, technological slavery. And basically what that is we've got to first recognize that a technology is a tool, not just a fulcrum, a lever, an axe, an automobile, a chainsaw, a train, whatever. Okay?
Yeah.
It's every kind of contrivance of man, including language and money itself.
Yeah.
Language being perhaps mankind's oldest technology.
Yeah.
So this is what's happening.
The first industrial tool, yes, sir.
So, I mean, we are all being hoodwinked. We're all being bamboozled. We're all led astray because we're talking about this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem. And we still have our TVs turned on when we should have turned them off long ago. We're not having honest discussions. And all of these discussions are being moved to the Internet. And we can see who has positioned themselves to take control of this communication medium.
Yeah. So then, are you suggesting that local networking would be part of the solution, sir?
Absolutely.
And a face-to-face level as well, necessary.
And I've been guilty of this, too, because I have closeted myself away for 15 years because I'm constantly reminded that I'm surrounded by zombies and criminals. And I just really don't even want to engage in nonsensical small talk of no substance with people.
Yeah, welcome to my nightmare.
I feel badly because I've imposed myself on you.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, sir. Yeah, no, it was a pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all reach out to me. I'm happy to engage, okay? I'm old and I have nothing better to do.
Thanks
Sounds
for
good.
The call, Lark.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Mm-hmm, bye-bye.
Goodbye, sir. Well, Graham, Stephen, gentlemen want to respond to I mean, so many places we could go from there.
I couldn't help remembering when, in the 90s, round about the time the wall came down, or just after the wall came down, I can't remember. It was round about that period of time. I can't remember if it was Reagan or who it was, but they handed Gorbachev a reset button. Remember, a big yellow reset button.
Yeah, I think I do remember seeing something about that. Stephen, do you?
I seem to remember that being Hillary Clinton and Putin with that red button. Wasn't that what that was?
Yes,
the reset button.
Yes.
Yeah, I do think maybe it was after the Georgia War. I think was the point. This was like 2009 or so, 2000 somewhere around in there. I think that's my recollection. That's the way this old fella remembers it. My memory's not the best, but that's what comes to mind. Yes, sir.
It was an actual industrial switch, a big chunky industrial switch, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. It looked like just like a big red button you would push, kind of, yeah. And it was a reset button to reset, supposedly reset the relationship after they had tried to invade North Ossetia. You know, that was the first, well, it wasn't the first, but it was a war of aggression from NATO, and the Israelis were there in South Ossetia, and then the, you know, Fox News was painting it like Russia was the aggressor and stuff. That was, yeah, that woke some people up. That's 2008. That's been, time flies, doesn't it, Graham, man? I can't believe it's September, the 6th or 7th of 2022 is the 7th. September 7th, 2022. Wow. Time flies.
Yeah. Graham, we were pointing out how we didn't really plan to cover 9/11 this year. It's just slipping through the cracks. It'll be this Sunday. So a lot of people don't even feel, are starting to feel like it's less effective to even talk about something like just like the Kennedy assassination or corruption behind the world wars and historical revisionism. A lot of people try to say, oh, you know, it already happened so long ago, 9/11, that you know, they don't feel like it. So I don't know. Do you want to comment on that at all?
There was an online poll in TikTok. Do you believe 9/11 was an inside job, you know, by the U.S. authorities? Yes or no? It was like something like 92-94% of people said yes. Thousands of people, took the vote. So very few people actually believe that it was, foreign terrorists. Very few people believe that.
Yeah, Stephen.
Yeah, it's been our face. You know, I have seen pictures of people in Israel dressing up in costume to commemorate the towers. I mean, I don't know what kind of, but it's just that, and it kind of creeps me out that it's been 21 years since 9/11.
And it seems like the fair consensus is that it required the power structure assistance of the United mm-hmm. States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia. Although Alex mm-hmm. Jones insists Saudi Arabia, you know, alone at most. And certainly not just a handful of Arabs with box cutters who foiled the day.
Yeah. I would include Pakistani connections in that, too. And there's some, I mean, once you dig into it, and it's like obvious, it's the same gang of criminals that's pushing this great reset to the PNAC is where.
The dual citizenship Israeli thing is mm-hmm. an important part of it, but there Jewish power in the U.S., which is not necessarily aligned with Israel, also had complicit actors. I mean, Victor Thorne, you know, may he rest in peace. He was killed because of the amount he named all the names, just how much Jewish power is connected to 9/11 and not just Israel for that matter. And they really didn't care for him. You know, I mean, I could be on a list just for mentioning Victor Thorne on RBN and continuing to remind people. But he has some great books out there I recommend people check out. But I don't know, Graham, back to you, sir.
And until they do a proper investigation, you know, like a proper investigation, unbiased, and, find the criminals really behind it, the U.S. can't move forward. It's stuck. It's still stuck there. It's stuck right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not one of those things that, there are certain events until they're brought to light. I mean, Trump had an opportunity to release JFK information that he even resealed. That was disappointing. Stephen.
Yeah, very. I mean, I don't know the commission to cover up the crime. They do that over and over again. And I don't see how it, unless aliens landed and said, here's what actually happened, and like that Q thing where they say, we have it all, if all the information was suddenly available in public. But people, look at what people are doing. Like you said, we're not paying attention anyway. So many people are distracted. It was obviously a crime. I mean, 92-93% of the people see that as true, but finding out who and punishing them is like
right.
Yeah, that's a whole other matter. I mean, it's like the way I react to it is more important. What can I do to be interacting, like you were talking about, locally with people face to face and form an actual, and I don't want to even use the word community, but like a tribe of people who are like-minded, you know?
It's true. It's very true. And even if you, myself, Graham, Lark, sometimes feel like, you know, they can occasionally seem like hypocrites that we need to do more of that ourselves even. And those who cannot do, preach, right, and teach. So those who cannot do, so I mean, we mean to do it more. We know it's the solution, and it doesn't make us hypocrites if we fail to do you know, act on it ourselves with our situations as much as we would like. I guess those are my final words. Graham, we'll try to have you back on regularly. I look forward to possibly next week we can get you on as it works out for you as well, sir. Your final words today. We've just got about a minute or two left.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, the whole 9/11 thing, I see it a bit like peeling an onion. I mean, how far do you go back? The moon landing was obviously a huge elaborate fake. You know, that was a huge hoax and a huge lie. And it sucked a lot of money away as well. And it still continues to. NASA, I'm talking about. And, of course, NASA's got Nazi roots. We know that as well. So, yeah, I mean, how far do you go back? When did the terminal cancer actually start? When did it set in? That
yes.
My final thought.
All good questions, which remain. Thank you so much. And folks, I always like to remind you to please support RBN. All the information is at republicbroadcasting.org. Click on donate. All the ways you can mail or by phone or by PayPal. Stephen, your final thoughts, sir.
Well, thanks very much for having me. Yeah, support this network so that people can exchange ideas across the pond. Like, I wanted to brag on your show. You do a great job, Richard. I mean, all the people that you have on. I was thinking of, you know, the hosts you have overseas and different points of view. So, yeah, you guys keep this thing going. So I really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, yeah, you stick around yourself. Don't you go anywhere now, Stephen.
No, all right. Not
all right.
Going anywhere.
Thank you, Stephen, and thank you so much, Graham. Yeah, have a good weekend. Speak next week, sir.
Okay, yep, it was a pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers. Likewise, brother. And folks, thank you so much for listening and for supporting RBN. Please continue to do so to keep all of this possible, this uncensored content, all these opinions, guests, and content. Stick around for Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. Always an excellent broadcast by Patrick. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.